Hey guys, John Papagiorgio of Papa's Basement here. I'm recording this special intro to the show on my iPhone because I am committed to audio excellence. And what's better than the default headphone and microphone set packaged with your iPhone to do exactly that? This show is a little different than a regular Papa's Basement. It's me with two friends that I made during my days working in professional radio. Othello Bukhareb, I'll never learn how to say his last name correctly, and Chris Blueshorts Lingenbach. I'm better on that one. Lingenbach, like a lingonberry. Lingabach? Not sure. Okay. Either way, these two guys had a show of their own on the sports station where we all worked, 106.7 The Fan in D.C., by the name of the CNO Show. And instead of me kind of leading proceedings, I sat back and I was a spectator to these two guys who I don't believe have done a radio show together in, God, 3 years, something like that at this point. And I just, for the hell of it, I wanted to see what they did. It was amusing to me. What can I say? I hope that you get some sort of kick out of it as well. Not every show of mine is going to be the same. And this one, I just wanted to see two friends rekindle, that flame. And it worked. It ended with them kissing each other full on the lips. So I hope you make it to the end and hear that part. All right, without further ado, here's the latest, Papa's Basement.
All right, folks, welcome to another Papa's Basement. I am John Papagiorgio, joined today by the CNO Show. No other way to put it. Reformed, yes. CNO Show. For those of you, that really was just for Doug. That was really just for Doug to fist pump in his cubicle.
Nah, man, we have more than just Doug as our listener. There's no, like, but three black dudes in D.C.
You have more listeners, I don't.
Nah, dude, whatever. I heard you got like a donation the other day.
I did.
From a random listener.
Yeah, Job.
We never got that.
Good old Job McKee was just like, I'm going to PayPal you $100.
That's awesome.
It was pretty sweet.
What did you use it for?
It's still just rotting in my PayPal. I wish I had a better story than that.
It'll eventually go to like a year-long Bang Bros membership or something like
I
that.
I somehow have one of those already. Yeah, my brother was just like, I have a password to Bang Bros and it's never expired. Do you want it? I'm like, of course.
So some random guy give you $100 so you can just watch Minka Tan videos over and over again?
I don't know if it was for that specifically. If he was just like, just keep watching pornography and talking about it on it.
Right. Right. No. Give the man what he wants.
But I am joined by a... Othman, I'll never say your full name.
Othman. I'll never get it again.
Othello.
Othman.
Othello. Just say the last name.
You don't have to. You can just be Othello.
He's just Othello. Yeah. And Chris, how are we introducing you? Are you still Blue Shorts?
Yeah, no, I'm just, Chris Blue Shorts.
There you go. For those that listen to the Fan / JFK in the D.C. area, you have heard us on air for me, maybe 15, 20 minutes. My entire run. These guys had an actual show, though. When was it? Saturday night? Sunday morning?
For like 15
what Sherry slot?
All right, let's define actual. Like, what does actual mean? Does it just mean actually being on the air? Does it mean like...
I had a couple noodles in the beard shows on the HD signal.
Like, does that count? People have to actually listen for it to be an actual show? That's
no.
Like the crux of like
no.
We had as like long a week or two on. Where we were on like Saturdays at 8 p.m.
I remember
we got a lot before, of run like then. Yeah, before the station realized we were like really bad, and then eventually they moved us to like.
I love how you give me. I'm sorry, not to interrupt. Othello listened to a bunch of my shows, and he's like, "I have two tips for you. One,
stop doing this."
Stop, yeah. Stop the self-deprecation when it comes to listener numbers.
Yeah.
So you're talking about your own show. You're like, when we cobble together our piece of shit.
No, I never said anything about the quality of the show. I said just don't disrespect your listening audience.
Oh, I don't disrespect them. They have immensely great taste.
What I've learned is like you really don't want to like piss off those like 13 people because like they're
diehards.
They're with you, you know? They're in it and they don't want to feel slighted. And that's what I've learned from personal experience.
All I was trying to say is
I understand you have far more than 13. Because
17 to 20.
You know, like I have 13 listeners, like regular listeners. Mm-hmm. And that's what being on the actual radio at 7 in the morning will do for you. But you, like on the internet, you probably have like hundreds.
I feel like such a Judas because you always tweet your listen live link.
Yeah, no, I just do that because like I feel like I have to like...
Well, it's like 2 hours after it aired, first of all. Like I see it on my timeline at 9:30 on a Sunday morning, and you were just begging his tweet after tweet for listeners at 7 a.m.
You know, I've never been one to... not beg. If that makes sense.
In other words, you've always been one to beg?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. If that makes sense, yeah.
No, and if we were all dogs, Chris would be the one that just smells human food and stares at you with those, like, I can see into your soul eyes.
Yeah. And jumps up on a lap and...
Yeah, just does whatever it takes to lick the pizza box when it's empty.
Yeah, but it's not even that. It's like it's more like the food is sitting on the table in the living room and then, like, you're quietly sleeping in your bedroom, like five rooms away, and then I run in there and then bark until you wake up, and then then stare at the food. I almost cursed.
I already did curse. This isn't
the... not allowed to do that on the internet.
Yeah, this isn't one of the clean ones.
The FCC's coming for it.
Oh, yeah.
Our numbers dropped drastically when we went from Saturday at 8 p.m. to Sunday nights at, what was it, midnight or 1 a.m. or something?
Yeah, but you saying that, but this is...
It's true.
This is the ultimate, like, this is why radio is, you know, can still find success, because nobody can prove anything. So you can't really prove that.
I can't prove what?
You can't prove that Sunday, like, when we moved to Sundays, that, like, we lost listeners.
I remember for three...
Sure, I can't, but I mean...
How?
I think most people would agree that then the odds of... It. What are you talking about? What am I supposed to
do? No, I'll say this much.
Exactly.
I worked about...
If I asked you to prove everything, every declaration you made, you wouldn't be able to prove it either.
We're talking about one thing here.
You're right.
We're not talking about like everything.
I think odds are that more people would be
more hyperbolic
Saturday at 8 p.m. than midnight on a Sunday.
Before we continue, I'm going to explain the obvious.
Let me just listen to what you say so
to the Papa's Basement audience, both of you. Chris and Othello fight like a married couple, and so the whole dynamic of this episode will just...
Well, he just like says this absurd thing and like expects us all to like believe it, like this hyperbolic thing. Like,
you should say hyperbolic another time.
Yeah, if I wanted to prove it, I could. All right, then prove it. No, I can't. I'm busy right now. Like, okay, then you can't prove it.
He's trying to get under my skin. To get me all angry in my own house.
Yes.
And I'm not going to let it happen.
Thanks for the invite, by the way.
Yeah,
appreciate
it. I love you guys.
Like drinking like 4 to 5 to 6 Bud Lights in your basement.
I'll say this much. When I had 3 or 4 Sunday shifts, when I got that prime little slot.
Yeah, that's a prime shift.
I would walk in and I heard you guys taking roughly what? The 5th hour of Redskins calls on air. They would be done losing by 4 p.m. on a Sunday, and I was coming in, what, like 9 p.m., and you guys were wrapping up.
What do you mean, like, the CNO show?
Yeah, what do you mean, you guys?
You said the 5th hour?
The CNO show. I'm saying, loss.
So after the first show was on.
God forbid I explain anything in detail. Like, the Redskins, the Redskins would lose, and our station, JFK, which didn't have the rights to the Skins games, but the instant they lost, we would have someone live just taking calls. That's
right,
all
so we
did.
Be like the third show talking. Well,
exactly. But it was the same assholes who knew to only call once per show, but they would be calling you for like the third time that day.
If we were lucky,
Here's like the most important context, right? So imagine a home Redskins game. There's like 80,000 people there or whatever.
Well, seats.
Right. And half of them, yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's 40,000 people there, and half of those 40,000 people are driving. That's what creates all like the mad chaos on like the roads, like on the way to the game and on the way back from it, right? So all these people, when they get to the stadium, they're sitting in the parking lot tailgating for like 3 hours. They're either listening to music or they're listening to sports talk radio, and it's either one station or the other, right?
I'll have to say, just keep your mouth more on the mic here, because I have these little shit like Radio Shack mics.
Oh, I got you.
And you're barely picking up.
Oh, we can curse?
Poop. I didn't realize you guys would actually... This is the one fucking time you managed to be clean, and I'm the one that's leading the way saying all the dirty stuff.
I've never been clean. And so all these people get in their cars at the end of the game, and they're sitting in traffic. So what do they do?
Yeah, holding in a whiskey piss. And
I'd say 80% of them listen to music.
Yeah, but the other ones are dudes that like have never been heard their entire lives. So they call a sports radio station and they want to call into the pregame show or excuse me, the postgame show at that point. And then imagine like 4 or 5 hours going by after that. After those people have been sitting in traffic, there's clearly no traffic anymore. There's no demand for people wanting to hear a post-game recap. And that's when we came in.
Yeah.
Ready to take your calls.
Yep. And the beauty of it was, you guys still got callers. I mean, I'm not saying it was a wall of callers. But
I think the one time it really benefited us to be where we were was after the Super Bowl, when the second time the Giants beat the Patriots, and the timing worked out so perfectly that like 40 minutes after the game was over, we were on the air and there were a ton of people out there like driving around.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it didn't matter. None of this matters. You know, we're all going to die.
In the grand scheme of things, nothing all matters.
I really did not want to go to the studio and do that show.
I don't want
to
be here right now.
Yeah. Like, I don't like your long-term view of this.
But yeah, you're right. That was our ultimate goal. Every single time was just to get, because sometimes it would be like tough to get more than 3 calls in 2 hours. So anytime we saw like the lines loaded, we're like, oh, we're finally on to something. But it had to
we're killing it.
It was just what was going on outside in the sports world.
What I love more than anything, by the way, the hierarchy of the sports station. Like, do you remember before you actually worked at the Fan, how miraculous you thought that place was? And when you first got hired.
Still is, excuse me.
Yes, sorry. And you're like, my fucking luck has turned around. I am on my way. And then you get there and you realize it's just a goddamn clown car driving off the side of a skyscraper. It's a fucking shit show. And you hate your life. Yeah. And like,
are you you're talking to Oath.
You still love it.
I work there. Yeah, I love it.
But did you like put on a game face? Like, I felt like the guy.
I wouldn't work somewhere I
almost
don't love.
dressing as Mickey at Disneyland. And the callers were like that little kid that walks up to you with the wonderment in their eye. They still believe.
I think it was so hard for us to be.
Were you depressed, Mickey? Like, kid, I'm not real. Fuck off. Or were you like, hey, welcome to.
I will say, when you first like get into like on air roles and you're put in a position where you can take calls, it's weird because you're like, you sort of have to come from a position of like, I don't know, like acting as if you're better than the people who are calling in.
Yeah.
Like if you listen to radio and you look for that, you'll hear it. Like anybody who's like the host taking the calls, they are the dominant one. You know what I mean? Like they'll tell the person when they can talk.
Yeah.
They'll cut them off if they're interrupting or whatever. But I think Shorts and I, like we sort of, I don't know, we definitely did not act that way. We would be like super grateful to people who called in. We would literally like beg them to call in and be like, please, this means everything to us. We're nothing if you guys don't call it.
Did you have like the same 3 guys? Did you memorize like kids' birth dates and stuff like that?
Aaron, Kellen, Suitland.
Yeah,
Sophia doing that test.
Like, so when they would call in, it was like they were doing
Sophia.
Us a favor.
Wow.
And they knew it. And I think looking back on that, that was probably not the right way to handle it. But
what else are you going to do though?
Well, you know, like live and learn and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's like we'll get another shot.
Yeah, one day.
I mean, I'm in the same place where I have like 5 guys that tweet me that they like the show.
Has the guy who sent you money, has he ever tweeted you?
Oh yeah, we talk.
You like, have like your own like Chloe Akinai or whatever.
What is this?
Well, like,
is this like a porn star's fan club?
Yeah, it's a porn star. What I realized like working in the mornings, like, because I do a show like on the air, but it's at like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
So I'm working a graveyard shift where like I'm clearly like.
No, it's like one of those ironic, sold my soul to the devil.
Yeah,
things.
No.
Like, I want to be on air. It's like, we can make that happen.
Clearly being buried so that like they can just keep me happy or something, so I don't want to like complain about things or whatever. Even though I complain more because then I have to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday like I do tomorrow. But my point is, I can really hammer out like throwing out the phone number for people to call in. And I might get 2 calls. The most I think I've ever gotten in that hour is like 5.
Can you walk me through why it is that you don't pre-record that show and just send in a WAV file or MP3 every morning rather than waking up at 5?
Tell everyone about the show.
Yes, because it's audio intensive. Let's throw out our buzzwords here. It's audio intensive. I had to like play a lot of like audio clips and nobody's shown me how to run the board so that I can, on my own,
so if you were to and if
talk
you could,
over these pre-recorded
if you
audio
figured
parts.
That out, you would just send it in? Phone it in every week or what?
Well, I mean, I'm not Carl Malone.
Like part
I,
of
might,
the reason,
I might not do that.
I feel like part of the reason that you don't is because you like the opportunity, at least, to throw out the number and see if you can get some calls.
Yeah, but you know what? You're right. Actually, you nailed it. And the thing is, it's embarrassing because every time I do that, I find out how like meaningless this whole thing like is. And I guess my whole point is, what are any of us doing here?
I don't know. It's honestly, we all grew up listening to radio, like talk radio, something that's just dead. Comedy guy talk. Is that the real term for it?
I hate calling it guy talk. I was listening to this. I don't know if you guys have heard of this show. It's
Howard Stern?
No, it's really good. It's Opie and Jimmy.
Okay. Why are you backdooring us with O&J?
It's a really good show. And and they were talking the other day about exactly this.
Do you have an XM subscription? Or like, what are you... Your new car? You got like the free 3 months or whatever?
Yeah. My new car has YouTube. And, okay. And it's got
that sounds dangerous.
It's got a premium YouTube account. And so I can just sit in the car and listen to my premium Sirius YouTube account. It's a newer service that Sirius is like offered, and I don't.
It's visual too, yeah.
Well, like people don't like, yeah. Not a lot of people know about it because I'm like one of like the early like beta testers type of thing, like that type of situation. But the point being, they finally had the segment that I've been dying for, I think somebody to have for like the last, I don't know, 7 years maybe. Where they talked about, there's no farm system. This was very recently that they talked about. There's no farm system, and that's the problem. And that's what killed like talk radio. Well, corporations killed talk radio.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I've learned
Please
enough.
Please turn off the goddamn TV.
It's gonna get real dark in here if I do that.
Well, put on the lights. I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but like Othello has his TV paused and it's doing this goddamn epilepsy blip every 3 minutes. No, it's to keep it from screen burning. But it's just doing this white flash. I'm going to fucking bite my tongue off and fizz in the mouth if it keeps up.
All right, it's off.
What matters is there is no farm system at all, and there's no place for new talent to be like cultivated.
There's not. It's not that there isn't just no farm system. There's no goddamn major leagues now either.
Yeah.
It's like if there were three baseball teams left.
Yeah, and they were just kind of like not even like playing against each other.
Yeah,
they were
with
just
like
playing games by themselves in a field with like no ball.
Well, there's no development process for on-air staff or for production staff either.
And
like
really,
Papa Giorgio and I were just saying like we never learned how to book guests. They were just like, hey, see if you can get Terrell Owens on. Well, we don't have a number or anything, but just, I don't know, hit him up on Twitter or go to his website.
Yeah, again, I'll offer a bit of context. Othello and I both worked as producers for sports shows for some time. And one of your duties that you learned the hard way when you got cussed out for not doing it was booking guests.
Yep.
Now, you weren't told anything about, like, secret numbers you could call.
Literally
maybe,
no training whatsoever.
Yeah, maybe you get in touch with agents. When you get a hold of them, what do you say so that you don't sound like some creepy stalker?
Right, yep. And the other thing is, like, I don't know if you did, but I never got training for, like, FCC.
What words to bleep?
Or, yeah.
There was no training. I remember.
I'm just going to say, on the record, I did.
Okay.
Did you really? Okay.
I got all of these things that you guys
you
said.
Quite, quite a different experience.
Well, you're not on, I mean, you weren't on air. You never had to, like.
Yeah, but I got all that stuff. Yeah, okay. I still had it. Yeah.
The only
I had
reason
it really well.
I knew how to bloop, things. There you go. Yeah. How to bleep
you just
things.
Just did bloop things.
You mean bring things to a screeching halt?
That's what I meant.
Yes. I grew up listening to, like we said, to Howard Stern and things like that, Don and Mike, and they would just talk on and on about like the seven deadly words and all
right.
that stuff. So
yeah.
That's how I knew. But yeah, given the amount of training I had,
the
someone
seven
could,
deadly words.
Someone could call
you
up,
say it, and you die immediately.
Someone could call
such
up
a deadly word.
And just been like, I miss Mark Rippon. RG3 is such a fuck cunt. Bye, guys.
Yeah.
And I could have been like, huh, he is a, and that would have been the end of my time on the fan.
Yeah. But not Chris. He got like trained.
Apparently, yeah. Well.
You know, now he's.
And I actually love Mark Rippon too. So I don't know.
God bless Mark Rippon and his daughter.
Yeah.
Any love for that?
No reaction? No, do we not know the concept?
I'm kind of annoyed with
the lingerie football stuff.
Acting like a legitimate athlete, you know, because she's...
Well, she is a legitimate athlete.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, she, you know, she's a professional athlete who just happens to be a woman and wears lingerie. It's not called the Lingerie Football League anymore.
Really?
Okay. It's called, like, the women's, like, not wearing
the pump
thing.
Okay.
Like that.
The League of Pumps.
I don't know the name of the league, but I'm telling you, it's a legitimate league, and you should...
Are you dating her?
No, you should give it its due respect.
All right.
I'm really...
Like, women can't play football, what, because you grew up, like, only men playing?
That is how I grew up, yeah.
So women can't be referees, and women can't vote, is that what you're saying?
Sort of.
I mean, where this man's going. How can I vote for you?
I just got back from a 3-week trip from Morocco, dude. Like, my judgment is a little skewed right now.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
They'd hang Chris for being a liberal for saying that shit.
Just a trip to Morocco, that's all it is. Yeah. Just to finish my stupid point, that doesn't matter, so I can, like, suffice my brain or whatever the word is.
Well, suffice.
It's not even just on a talk radio, like, format. It's a guy talk. It's sports talk, too. There's really not, like, any breeding ground at all anymore.
No.
Anywhere. It's just, like, what it is, like... One guy decides, well, I think this guy might be able to do it. So I don't know what the process is anymore.
No, it was before, I've said this before. I think the FCC took the regulations off where it used to be you could only own one station per market. So CBS would have like a CBS station.
That was a Bill Clinton thing. Yeah, it was a law that he passed.
I thought it was Bush. I thought it was Bush the one.
No, it was Clinton.
All right, well, he fucked things up good, because once the reins came off and these mega corporations could just buy as many stations as they wanted,
Clear Channel, like, ruled that roost. I think that they...
Well, they could syndicate whatever. Like, so instead of a morning guy being needed in Philly and a morning guy being needed in Cleveland and a morning guy in D.C., it was like, Howard Stern, Howard Stern, Howard Stern. The entire Midwest is just Rush Limbaugh 24/7.
But what happened and what killed that and why... They're selling off those stations now is because the ad dollars started like pulling away from radio because they realized, well, we have the internet now. We have, we've always had television. We have these thousand other like things, you know, that we have metrics for that we can measure how our money is being spent. And the money just started coming away from radio and going to all these different things. Just a more egalitarian type of approach, I think, from the advertising agencies.
Tell me if I'm wrong on this. Has Clear Channel actually left radio, or there's
no? They changed their name.
Is that okay?
Last time I read about it, I want to say, I think I'm correct. It's iHeartRadio now. They changed
their name.
Yeah,
iHeartRadio
to the name of
after
their
the
app.
Dumb app.
Yeah, but people loved it, and they made a concert out of that whole thing.
Was that I thought that was an award show.
Here's the thing,
which I refuse to watch. Like, so I have no idea what went on.
If like I know that I feel
did
completely.
Did you just say what went on? Like
I,
a Brit.
I pronounce my T's pretty weird. Yeah.
Button. Oh God, you do button. That thing that my button gigantic, morbidly obese roommate does. He says button.
Button.
Oh, that drives me crazy. I just want to like just.
I mean, there are two T's.
Run my elbow into his.
No,
flat
you gotta say
face.
Button like you're from the south.
It's button.
Like, button.
I heart radio. I heart rate. What went on?
As much as I feel completely meaningless in life, just in general, but also
you mean
like
recording a podcast
with what I offer this
in
world.
Darkness in a basement? Doesn't
yeah,
make
no,
you feel like a king.
No, besides that, this is important. Clearly, like obviously, like I can just look around and go, "This is really important."
The dirty laundry in the corner.
But I mean, like in terms of radio, like there can't be anything more. No offense to people to do it, anything more meaningless than music radio, right? There can't be, like, a less important service.
Well,
how is there?
Wait a second.
Service has a word for you.
Are you, like, over like, propping up sports radio?
No, I'm not even. I'm just saying there can't be anything less important than, and again, all due respect to people that are in that business, but it just can't, you can get music anywhere. I'm not like shattering any like beliefs here. I'm just saying you can get music anywhere, and you don't have to have somebody.
So there are people who have
talk
like,
about
guys.
Their careers become legends just based off of spinning records. Like,
who's gonna give me my War of the Roses?
15 years ago.
No, I mean, dude, there are still people who host radio shows.
You're talking like, about Ryan
radio shows or whatever.
You're talking about Ryan Seacrest.
You're talking about what's his name? Peter Rosenberg, or
again, that's
DJ
like
K-Slay,
10 years ago now, though.
Or no, he's still on right now.
Okay, I'm not.
I'm just saying
they're doing
a way
show.
To be a successful person like
yeah,
a,
but the
a
people
radio
that...
host doing music radio.
Okay, that's different. What you're saying is different. You're talking about there's some sort of entertainment base to that type of radio because they're actually doing interviews. They're actually talking to music artists. That's fine. That there's a demand for that. That makes sense. I'm talking about the
Chris is just that saying just, the dick who's like coming up next, the latest from Maroon 5.
That guy, yeah, and I wish I didn't.
That will be a robot in 10 years.
It will be, yeah,
yeah.
And I feel bad for that person. That's
there,
my point.
There
but
was a guy who made a living doing that 15 years ago, just being the music. There was a guy who got blown.
Look,
because he had like Pearl Jam tickets. And
here's
shit
the thing:
like that.
I don't want to get too political or anything. But,
go for it.
But the
are you okay? You seem like a cat right before it's going to puke.
I keep burping.
His cheeks are puffed up.
I keep burping. I'm trying
like,
not
hold
to
it
in,
kitty.
God
damn it.
But there's things that there's demands for, and there's things that there's not. The market fluctuates, whatever. And you know, sometimes our government spends too much on, I don't know, not the military, but we'll say anything but the military, because you're not allowed to say that the government spends too much money on
no,
military.
Say it.
But let's just say a different department besides the military. And the government spends too much money on it. And then...
Dude, I'm trying to follow your point here, but you are losing me. Like, what are you trying to say about sports radio versus music radio?
I think what Chris is trying to say is we give way too much to Israel.
Yeah.
And I'm with you loud and clear.
Right, dude.
You should just let me finish my point.
I will never get
ahead
in this business.
I don't understand. Go ahead.
Because you're not listening.
I am. You've been talking for 40 minutes straight, dude. Get to it. Here's the problem, is that because he works in sports radio, because he's loyal to it, sometimes... He has the tendency to value it a little higher than you and I or the common man would. Uh-huh. So I'm trying to keep him from doing that before he spits it out after 5 minutes.
I don't want
to
devalue it.
I
think all three CNO callers would agree that it has a place. It has some value.
You're missing my point. I don't find myself to be of any value at all, like whatsoever. I'm just saying there's people that are less valuable. And the other part of my point is if... an agency spends too much money in this sector and they decide that they need to move it to this sector, the first sector is going to be disappointed when those people in that sector start losing jobs and they realize that they're only trained for that one specific thing. And that's really the sadness of radio. And that's the depraved part of it at this point, because there's these corporations that have realized where they can cut costs and where they can eliminate human beings and then substitute human beings into them. And so those human beings that were formerly important and valuable are no longer that. They're just not. That was my whole point.
What he's saying is the mega corporations that bought everything in radio now realize radio isn't going to give them much and that they
well,
can run radio for like 18,000 a year.
It's going to give them plenty, but they just don't need to spend the money that they did before to get that money. They can... if they can do it another way.
Well, yeah, and it's a shit corporate
it's a
mentality.
Just like
yeah, exactly.
Else.
And it used to be artistry 30 years ago. It used to be guys that really were passionate about it. Like you said, a farm system. Like a kid would grow up listening to the radio in DC, and he'd do 5 years in fucking Kansas, and then he might go to a mid-market somewhere in Florida, and then maybe he'd come back to DC.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how...
and live out his childhood dream.
That's, you know, when people say that things are ruined by the man, and, you know,
sometimes they are. Sometimes
over,
they
that's,
really are.
That's what happened. That's what's going on. That's why podcasts, you know, became a lot more popular and prevalent.
I guess they're popular. They're not making fucking money, though.
I mean,
that's what breaks my heart.
Well,
you guys are going to really hate me for what I'm doing right now.
What'd you
eat? We'll find out, won't we?
It drives me. There is a demand, though, and it pains me to say this, for that vanilla, like, repetitive, like, talk radio that you hear that's regulated by the FCC, that's run by these corporations, because I don't know if it's because that's all they have now or because that's what they want. Like, when I go into work, and I work with some people who do listen to sports radio,
mm-hmm.
and I talk to them and I say, no, I don't really listen to that. I listen to, well, I'll listen to the Junkies, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'll
local DC sports show at the station we worked at, they're the Morning Guys. And unlike a lot of sports shows, they at least get to do some personality driven material with it.
And this has happened more than once where I'll bring up a topic that was not like a non-sports topic, and mm-hmm. they'll say something like, oh, well, you know, I'm not really into that. I'm more into like when they talk. What just happened there?
I think he has to make a tinky. Yeah.
A tinky.
Yeah.
But you know,
Short sprinted away, and he's like, really drunk
right now.
So he's pissing with his door open, and I saw half of his bright red trunks and white ass sticking out of me.
Pulls him all the way down. I can't see. You see his ass right now?
A little bit. It's like the Coppertone Girl kind of thing. Like, it's just enough.
I used to have a gallery on my phone of like 50 pictures of Shorts playing office basketball completely nude. And this is when was like, what were you, like 80 pounds overweight back then?
Yeah.
Like 80 pounds overweight, completely naked. Just like dunking all over.
Balls.
He was recreating Michael Jordan, like dunks and everything.
Well, like his actual sack out?
Yeah, man. It was awesome.
Jesus.
Man, I wish I still had those. I want to get them.
I do not have the guts to. I hate getting naked in front of a girlfriend. I hate getting naked in front of a fucking mirror.
Shorts will do it right now. He doesn't care.
No, don't. I'll take your word.
But anyways, I'll go into the office. I'll be like, hey, did you guys hear this topic? They'll be like, no, I really don't listen or pay attention when they don't talk about sports or whatever. And when I hear that, I'm like,
So you're saying
are you serious? You like to listen?
By the way, I like how you finish your point. Like as soon as I get back from going away, like I try to leave and like go to the bathroom and not say anything, and then you talk about me going to the bathroom and like
it was distracting.
And then you finish your point right when I get back. Like okay, I'm back.
That's considerate of us.
There are people who I like work with who listen to, the Sports Junkies, and I'll try to bring up. You know, segments that are in, like, non-sports topics, and they don't really react to them that well. Like, they prefer the Nats talk.
And you're saying guys like us, like, all we would respond to really on that is the personality stuff. Yeah.
But
see, I'm like that, too. Like, I like it when it's a personality show and they veer into sports for 5 to 10 minutes because, I'm sorry, how long are you going to dissect sports?
Yeah.
I think we come from abnormal backgrounds in that whole thing, though, you know, because we've been oversaturated with it. There is like, or whereas like everybody else, like they still have it all around them and they can access it whenever they want. Like, for instance, flipping to a sports radio station, but, or going to ESPN or going to ESPN.com or whatever. But we just kind of like we're inundated with it all at once. So we're sick of it. And everybody else just kind of, access it when they feel
casually
like accessing.
Casually listening, yeah. Yeah, sure. You always remind me that people who are listening for like 15 minutes at a time, whereas I think all three of us are the kind of guys who like sit there and listen to the same show at our desk.
Well, radio was just a different experience for you and me and for John, Papa, Mau, Mau, Giorgio, than it is for most people, is that like we grew up and we happened like... The dice rolled like the worst way possible, and we happened to like fall in love with like people creating theater on the radio. And
when you could make a killing at it, too. Like, I remember when I quit my 9-to-5 after listening to a very successful DC afternoon show, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
And I was like,
Don and Michael.
F this.
Donald and Michael.
Donaldo and Miguel.
Donald and Michael was a great radio show in the D.C. area.
And you know what? This is going to let me get out my love of comedy, and I can live in one area my whole life,
quit after, like, listening to a show? Like, you're like, you know what?
Dude, I was in a cubicle for 2.5 years. I'd gotten out of college. Like, I was so dumb. I had no life plan. I thought you just did your time, got good grades in college, and walked out, and you're like, here are my grades. They are good. Give me a job now.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
Yeah, because we're dumb. That's how we were raised since fucking kindergarten. Get all plus marks, and everything turns out great.
Trust me, okay? Trust me. You get a good grade. You go to college.
Damn our horrible immigrant parents.
All right, I'll do that.
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah, I go I go to college. I become a psych and history major. Like, I could have picked more worthless shit. I don't know how. And I get out, have my worthless piece of paper, wind up getting a shit job through a temp agency, and the only thing that brought me joy was, like, I could listen to Don and Mike, which I'd listened to since age 13, you know, in my cubicle at 3 p.m. And after 2.5 years of that, I'm like, I want to be them. Like, I want to be... It wasn't even I want to get into radio. I just was like, I someday want to be Don Geronimo.
So we're not, like, breaking any walls down here by saying that, like, radio has changed. Like, clearly it's a... I don't want to say dying medium. It's just an evolving medium.
No, dying is... It's like saying the Pony Express is evolving. The milkman's evolving. No, it's fucking dying, dude.
No, I don't think it's... Like, there's still going to be radios and cars. That
they'll be replaced in, like, 10 years. It'll just be internet radio.
But for the point of my argument, let me just say this. Is that, like, there are people that are, say, for instance, like you, mm-hmm. and like me, and like... what are you going by on this one?
I think Othello.
Othello, yeah. Like Othello, who, you know, guys that fell in love with that type of radio at an early enough age, but at a late enough age that we decided, well, we could maybe do this, right? And then you realize that, like, by the time you're into it, the bottom starts falling out from under you, and the whole medium as a whole, and that idea of radio as a whole starts dying and crumbling, and your dreams start shattering underneath your feet, and there's nothing you can do to stop it, but all you're trying to do is, like, stay alive and stay afloat, and you're realizing, why did I just waste my... Those are the people that I think I...
Evolving, feel, by the way. Not dying. Evolving.
I feel bad for. Those are the people that I feel bad for is those people, and I wish that there wasn't this... For the ones that happen to break through, this...
The guys who got in roughly 2 years before I did.
This just kind of... I'm not talking about anybody we know.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, there seems to be this sense of desperate, I need to over-purport my importance. Just accept...
Now we have to be talking about someone, right?
I'm just saying... No, I'm not. We're not.
Okay.
I'm just saying, accept what it is you do and what it is you are. And there's nothing wrong with that. You fill a need for people in their days. That need happens to be 8 to 15 minutes long. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good need to fill. It's not an hour and a half like you grew up, like it was when you grew up, like when you fell in love with the whole medium. It's just different now. It's just different. It's very...
I guess that makes it more disposable then. Because, okay, not to sound like a complete psychopath, there was a time in college when I was finishing up, I was going to bed at like 10 in the morning because I was so out of it at this point. What? So I would listen to all of Stern's show, 6 to 10. I would then sleep through all of my classes.
Sleep on classes.
Yeah. I would wake up. I would like eat. I would do some gym stuff. I would maybe do a little homework. And then by that time, we had Don and Mike live. And then I would like screw off for a bit. And make it long enough that I could hear the Stern replay that JFK had. Wow. I would listen to Stern twice. Then they replayed Don and Mike. Then they went into the new Stern, and then I went to bed again.
Yeah, that is...
That's how much this shit meant to me. That's how much this meant to me, dude.
I think that... But see, I understand that. I used to be not quite as crazy about that. I used to do things like that.
That was at my worst. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but that's more of like a fix than anything at that point. It's not... Calling it like a part of your life is like admitting that like a heroin addict... Like,
yeah, you're saying...
Heroin is a part of their life.
You can appreciate porn. I'm addicted to it. I get what you're saying.
See, yeah.
I mean, I think we all had... I mean, like I went to bed at a reasonable hour, but we all, you know, even... Shorts or Chris or whatever, we all had rituals, you know. Like, I remember going to bed at probably whenever the Bald Truth started on JFK.
Bald Truth. Yeah.
Like after
hair loss infomercial.
I think it was after Ron and Fez.
Okay.
Is when I would go to bed. And
R.I.P.
Yeah, I know, right? And it was super late, but I remember, like, you know, my day would start with the Junkies and well, obviously now, once the internet came out, you could listen to podcasts and stuff like that. Like, I began listening.
Once the internet came out.
Yeah.
Once, like, how stupid does that sound today?
What do you have? How do you properly say that?
When the internet came out, I was able to call people up.
Dude, I speak three languages.
I'm not mocking you. I'm just saying, like, how stupid it sounds.
But anyways, like, and at work now, like, I have my, you know, my schedule of listening to different shows, but I think not sleeping throughout the night is kind of crazy.
Well, that was when I was in college, like having breakdowns.
No, but I'm saying, like, all of us, all three of us, I think we're pretty, like, really passionate about talk radio. So passionate, in fact, that we were willing to throw a chance at, you know, having a regular life or whatever to devote as much time as we could without any idea of how it was going to end.
Yeah, we made a mistake. Yeah,
we did.
We all make mistakes. It's, you know, but that's a part of life, though. As long as we're young enough to realize that we made that mistake, that we can still alter, like, our
I think
our
I got into
reality.
The business at 27 to speak for myself.
The way I see it,
that is the proper reaction.
I mean that in a good way, though, of course.
The way I see it, man, if I never tried to do radio, like,
it would have been a regret.
Yeah, when I was like, you know, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, I'd be like, okay, it's cool, I got a house or whatever, but
yeah, like, sure, I'm a fellow MD.
Big time.
No, but it would have, like, eaten me up inside that I didn't try, at least, or, like, I didn't even, you know.
Yeah, it's like what I face every single day, like when I wake up and I go, why am I not doing stand-up every single morning?
You're 27, you're like at Papa's stage of beginning.
Oh,
great. So that's never going to happen.
Yeah, right. Here's how it turns out, buddy.
Stand-up's tough, man.
We were having this talk actually off-air because every show we do from Othello's Basement, so we're calling it that on
really
Papa's
happen.
Basement. Yeah. But every show we do, really with Othello in general, we shoot the shit for hours beforehand. Like, we could have recorded two shows in the span of what we did.
See, I didn't really have, like, your flow down. So when I walked in,
the entire time we just talk about.
I know. I didn't know
how we're going to record.
I didn't know when, like, the appropriate place was to jump in and go, hey, when are we going to do this thing?
Hey,
that
queers.
Came over here for?
No, we were recording that whole time.
Yeah, that's good. And that's perfect because now, like, we're sitting in a dark basement staring at each other. But
is there not light down here? Is there really not?
There is. I just don't feel like. I mean, you can get up if you want, but I'm not going
to. Okay, let me do that.
No, don't do that because then, like, I don't know. Like, you're going
to
see.
This is starting,
like,
to get creepy.
The fat
like
it's bulging out of, like, my
dark.
Everybody's looking like Robert Durst right now.
Yeah.
Creeping me out.
Trying to segue.
Speaking of,
we'll get to the jinx in a second. Let me put on the lights. You can stare at my big fat pregnant dog tits.
Yeah, Metallica hit the lights, and then
we'll
nice. Talk about Fred Durst.
Yeah, let's talk about, like, Nats and, like, Redskins right now. Actually,
yeah.
So what's the deal with, like, that Max Scherzer guy? Is he?
Yeah. So, like, I mean, some days I just don't want to wake up, and then
like, wake
too.
Up or get out of bed.
And then, so let's talk about Robert Durst.
How many Bud Lights have you had?
Five. You got one more. Can you carry it for 30 seconds?
No, yeah,
I'll be fast.
It.
All right.
We got this.
Do I sound like pretty hammer?
Nah, you're good, man.
I got it. Yeah, that's probably.
I noticed that all your Bud Lights, like, you leave like 3 ounces at the bottom of the bottle. Look at that one right there.
Definitely not intentionally. I wouldn't do
that. Look
at
that one up there. Look at that one up there.
No, I think.
That's 3 bottles right there.
No, man.
Even a little bit of liquid.
No, I think that's the foam. And then it.
You drink them so fast.
I don't think the word matriculate is the right word.
Matriculate from Harvard.
No, I think the foam eventually, like, trickles back down the bottle and just kind of collects at the bottom of the bottle.
You still get hammered off your soul. 6 Bud Lights?
No.
You still get drunk at all?
No, I mean, I do eventually, yeah.
No,
yeah,
like,
not
6
Bud Lights.
That's not enough. Do you get, like, a buzz?
No,
off?
Yeah, like a little, yeah.
So
I don't know why. It's a giant waste of time. I don't,
yeah, I know.
To answer your question, I don't know why I do it. I just,
you just do it.
Just something to do, I guess.
Do you, let me ask you this. When you get a 6-pack of Bud Light from 7-Eleven.
How come you don't say anything when he goes to the bathroom? Like, why do you have to, like, stop the show when I
didn't stop the show.
You did. You were like, well,
because he just went like to the you bathroom. Ran off like you were attending to an emergency.
I did it to like not draw attention to it.
What I want to like when you go to 7-Eleven, you get like a 6-pack of Bud Light.
Yeah, it's a giant waste of time.
No,
money, everything. I've given more my paycheck to like 7-Eleven in the last like 3 years than I have to like charity in like 15 years.
I mean, most people are in that same boat. But when you do that, is like, are you thinking, okay, I'm gonna use this to get drunk, or what are you thinking? Like, are you like,
no, it's just something to do.
Okay, cool. Because I would think that if you wanted to get drunk, you'd get like, I don't know, some sort of.
Boy,
like,
what did I walk in on? I had the opposite shorts experience. I came back to the date rape hour.
Him about is,
no, it's just like he's asking me about like why I drink. No, this six-pack of
all
light.
I'm saying
I'm
is
like,
if,
I don't know.
If you drink that because you want to get drunk, why would
it's like
get,
why do you eat a pizza? Like I don't know.
Because you're sliced, you want to get full.
Yeah, but like, not because you want to eat full. Like you just want to like
you're hungry and you want to. All right,
let me rephrase it. Why do you eat an entire pizza? It's not just to get full.
Who eats
it? It's just because you just want to do it.
Nah, dude. What I'm asking is, okay, you get a six pack of Bud Light.
Are we,
John? Have you never eaten an entire pizza? He's trying to act like he hasn't.
I mean, like maybe split over 2 days or something.
Yeah, we're just one.
I'm a fat slob, but I don't think I've ever done one in a day.
I'm trying to help you here. If you want to,
are we doing an intervention?
No, is this really an intervention? I'm trying to help his alcohol. Like if
that's an intervention.
If you want to get
drunk, that is definitely an intervention.
No. I'm not trying to fight your alcoholism.
Yeah.
I'm trying to support it. If you want to get drunk, why wouldn't you get like a more potent beer? Why would you get?
That's his fix. This is the ritual.
I did not.
He drinks all kinds of beers though.
But is this your favorite? We're bringing this up because Chris he came over with a sixer Bud Light and then jokingly, wink, wink, joking,
drink them
said,
all.
Like, I'm going to drink all of these in an hour.
I wasn't joking. I was serious.
He's got one left. Okay. I'm asking, but he's
was joking about that. I don't have one left. I've drank all six.
I have more beer in there if you want.
I'm sized. Okay. Go back to the conversation.
I was just wondering why he wouldn't get, like, a more,
But is this, or Chris, is this what you drink every time where you're just like, it's Saturday afternoon.
I just like to drink. I don't know. I don't think it's like a
just whatever's cool.
Actually, it's probably a problem. But like, I don't know. I just do it. Yeah, it's just something to do. Really,
isn't it so sad that like
I don't have any fun roommates anymore? Like most of them left. Now I'm just left with that fat fuck that lives upstairs that just makes a lot of noise when he walks around.
I haven't. But just everything that came out of his mouth, like it's just something to do. I like it. Like, if you apply that to something constructive, like, if you applied that to guitar playing, you'd have Eddie Van Halen talking right now. But it's just drinking.
Yeah. It's just a waste. Yeah.
No, I do the same shit. Like, please, don't think that my life isn't just a goddamn monument to addiction. Just not, like, easy booze ones. Like, I love porn.
Oh, so you put more effort into your...
No, mine are just, like, the weirder ones that, like, people don't pick up on. Like, I almost wish
like,
that...
Like, watching porn, like, people don't pick up on that. Yeah, like, my addictions are really easy. They're, like, really difficult. It takes a lot of effort.
In some ways, I do wish that, like, I were just a cokehead. Yeah. Or, like, my thing was, like, tapping the vein. Yeah. Because all my shit is behavioral. I eat too much. I look at fucking porn all the time.
You would rather be a heroin addict than a porn addict?
I mean, that one might be a little far, but I'm saying, like, in our culture, people identify substance abuse problems easily. And there's, like, really good anonymous
shit for them. Yeah, but they don't always come out on top.
Like, oh, no. That's absolutely true. You'd rather
roll the dice than deal with what you're dealing with now?
Let's go with coke, then.
All
right. People come out of that one, and you probably had a lot of money if you were into coke to begin with.
True.
So let's just say I wish I had been a cokehead.
I think that it's really like the there are people who are obsessed with hobbies that are, that they can benefit off of. Like, oh, I'm really into building robots, or I'm really into freaking... writing. The majority of people are into what we're into,
Horrible things.
Fast food, pornography,
drinking six Bud Lights.
Yeah.
Without their friends giving them an awkward intervention in the basement, pretending that it's a radio show.
Yeah, I was trying to help you, man. I'm trying to get more beer, more drunk, quicker.
Yeah.
And then the lower tier of that are the people you're talking about.
I know what you're saying. Like, I have two friends, really one friend I can think of off the top of my head, who's just addicted, I would call it, to doing constructive things. The guy who draws my comic just left to his own devices. He's like you said, I built a puppet. You said building the robot. You know, like I learned how to make sculptures and I did that this weekend. And I'm like,
I played Game Boy, and then I fell asleep in my own sick.
But sometimes I also feel like those people are, like, one wild night away from being, like, druggies. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, oh, I'm really smart. I'm really into whatever, friggin' engineering. And he has one crazy night where he does, you know, meth, and all of a sudden he's a meth head.
You know I think the one thing that, like, obviously, like, binds the three of us is that we all have, like, addictive personalities.
Yes.
I see what you're saying, John Popow New Guinea, is that I wish I could, like, also kind of, like, rechannel that addictive to energy to something good. But there's something about, there's, like, an inherent negative underbelly of, like, that addictive personality that it's, like, if I'm using it for something.
I guess part of addiction is it has to be something that's really destroying you indirectly.
But I wouldn't say, well, yeah, actually with my next example, I definitely would too. I would say that I'm addicted to my job. I would say I'm completely addicted to it.
Yeah, you're a huge fag.
And
Dr. Drew.
And I would say that there's something good about that, and there's something bad about it. It makes me better at my job because I try to figure out anything.
And I don't think that's the worst addiction.
But I guess my point is that I think that there's like a blow off steam stage to it as well. Like there's got to be some sort of like something that goes in the opposite direction of like benefiting yourself. Maybe I don't know. Can you just have 7 things that you're addicted to doing that are all good for you, or are there going to be some bad ones in there too? I guess that's my point. Like, can you just have an addictive personality and only use it for good things? Or,
well, if you're addicted to something, there's going to be a negative element associated with it, regardless of what. Like, I was talking to Papa Mama the other day about the Kobe Bryant documentary on Showtime.
Yeah,
and he. First of all, in that documentary, he seems like a freaking psychopath because he keeps saying insane competitive things like, I would rather die than fail and things like that. But in the documentary, he's like, you know, part of wanting to be a master at your craft is you have to make all these sacrifices. So, of course, I want to spend time with my family, but no, I got to, you know, I missed all these free throws the other night and I got to be in the gym tonight and make these. He says, like, so of course I want to have these good friends.
Right.
Yeah, so I think there's like, you know, negative aspects, regardless of what it is, of whatever you're addicted to.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know.
Unless you're addicted to porn. And, you know, there's nothing bad.
Yeah, there's nothing bad about that.
I think that's, yeah, I was going through all my sex addict shit with a friend who's working through stuff with booze. And I was describing
Alan Hamilton, or are we talking about beer?
Pretty much they were like, because I was kind of making that case too, and I'm like, well, if I'm not spending money, because I've tried a meeting one time to just be like, hey, maybe we'll have a lighthearted, like, this will fix John, and I'll get into Sex Addicts Anonymous. But it was guys, like, talking about
wait, you said you had a meeting? Like, you...
I went to a meeting one time.
What, for sex addicts?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I thought it'd be like
this
a
is
cool,
with your
like,
accounting friend?
No, just alone for the meeting.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You didn't know this?
No.
Okay, yeah. I went one time, and I thought, like, I would be, you know, first be mixed gender. Like, there's always that running gag that you get, like, the horny chick who's, like a 9, and she's like, I can't stop blowing everyone who's new to the group. Like, thank you, God. And I show up, and it's guys that were so much worse off than me that I thought I was fine, even though I still am a sex-addicted fuck-up. But, like, the degrees to which they were going...
Okay,
like, they were talking
but
about,
is there, like, a checklist, though? Like, that's
yeah,
what
I... Yeah, oh, I failed the checklist horribly. Like, I'm something like 9 out of 13 on the checklist. Like, I just fall short because, like, I don't... There were guys that spent entire paychecks, like, over a weekend on prostitutes. There were guys who looked at computer porn for 16 hours straight. Like, they woke up on a Saturday... And the way some people, like, drink while watching college football.
Yeah, now we're talking my language.
They would put on porn and just beat it for, like, 16 hours.
That sounds good, yeah.
There were guys that couldn't go to the mall during the spring and summer because girls were wearing sundresses.
Yes.
And they would just, like, follow them to cars and shit like that.
Whoa, that's like... so.
There were guys that couldn't drive by pools
so you're
because
like,
they would see girls.
In fairness, like, you're 1/8 like rapist then, right?
I mean,
I'm not saying like I'm just trying to understand.
Like, the degree to which I've done creepy shit is, yeah, maybe you'll see, like, a chick on the second tier of a mall, and you'll look up and be like, maybe I can see her body.
Because when you said there are guys that follow girls to their car when they're sundressed...
Oh, well, I just meant in the group. No, yeah. Let me say, these were guys I heard in the group who all made me feel normal, because all I like to do is just, like, look at porn and dirty chat via text.
So it
like,
actually had the negative effect.
Though, it had the worst effect it could have been. Like, it would have been, like,
you start getting all these ideas.
Yeah, well, if shorts... Oh, dude,
I could sit on the trash can and jerk off in front of
if shorts like, showed mom. Up at AA and everyone was just like, I drink a keg in my friend's basement every Saturday, shorts would just grab a sixer and be like,
yeah, I'm gonna try a mini keg.
So ahead of the curve. So ahead of the curve of these guys. That's
not a bad idea.
Heineken does it.
You would get, like Chris was saying, you get completely the wrong idea. Just because you're in, same with, let's say, God, who the fuck... Who was it that was drafted right after Jordan? Or, I'm sorry, right before Jordan?
Oh, Sam Bowie. Bowie.
Yeah. Like, Sam Bowie...
See, sports radio.
...was amazing by any reasonable basketball metric. Like, he was a great college player, all that shit. But you put him against the best of the best in the league, especially you put him one ahead of Jordan in terms of a draft pick. And I think, what, Drexler was right before him?
Yeah. And it's the same thing with, like, Greg Oden and, like, Kevin.
Exactly. Durant. They're going to look like colossal bust fuck-ups. Yeah. And that's what we... That's what I looked like at a Sex Addicts Anonymous. Right. I'm still the Sam Bowie like, of jacking off way too much.
Yeah, but you still got drafted.
But that's a good thing. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It means you get more money.
Yeah, but, like, I shouldn't measure myself by the fact that I'm in a league with Clyde Drexler and Michael Jordan on either side.
Yeah, but you're still in the league, you know what I'm saying? you hit your pay dirt.
Yeah. You did it.
Yeah, so your analogy is not working the way I'd like.
No, dude, you're in the league, man. You're doing it. Yeah, you can buy your mom a house.
I see what you're saying. Though.
Yeah. Michael Jordan can buy his mom 10 houses, but you can jerk off in one.
Juanita gets five of them.
One time I went with a friend, and I don't want to tell you guys who it is.
It wasn't me.
There's the anonymous part.
He does really poor. He does really poorly with women. Like, he doesn't know how to speak with them.
Okay.
And and there was like one of those pickup artist classes when the
PUA stuff.
Yeah,
it was
like 3 or 4 years ago. I went with him. Literally, like, everybody in that class except for me and him, like, was so socially awkward that they couldn't even begin to think about having a conversation with women. Like,
but they were going to get cured in 2 hours for $100,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. So I was like, dude, you need to realize, man, you are, like, way better off. Like, you are not in the same league as these guys. And he was like, yeah, man, I know that. Like, these are creeps. And I think just going to that for him, like, gave him, like, the biggest confidence boost ever. Like, he was like, yo, I should be able to talk to women. I'm not like these guys. So, like, maybe...
What was that like, by the way?
Can I just say for the record, this wasn't me.
It was weird. It was really weird.
Like, because I read a couple of the pickup books and shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, reading them, you get a couple good things here and there. But to go to the meeting, that's where I was like, okay, this is where they're taking dollars from the rubes.
Yeah, I was interested because I read, like, Game, whatever, book or whatever. But
By Neil Strauss?
Yeah. But it was weird.
I thought you meant the rapper.
But these are guys who were, like, they were really weird, and they suggested these, like, crazy methods that didn't even, like, peacocking, you know what that is.
Oh, yeah, peacocking, for those that haven't read these books and pinched their breasts.
Sure, have you heard of peacocking?
Said, why can I not get a woman five times in a
mirror? Peacocking is, like, wearing something ridiculous or having something
to get attention.
The
whole problem...
NBC will hire you, yeah.
The whole problem with this method in general is that it was designed, so much of the pickup shit was designed by guys in L.A., where you're competing... with people that own Lamborghinis. You are competing with rock stars. You are competing with, like, successful actors. So, yeah, right. The one way you can stand out is kind of dressing like someone hugely important. Mm-hmm. So even if you aren't, people will think this guy's got something. He's wearing a monocle.
Then you take him over.
Dressed
like
Mr. Peanut.
Like, you don't have to. Living room, like, bed.
Yeah. And then you're like, well, this is where I have sex with everyone for the first time. The beach house. The pool, you know, just some little hut.
So they would be like, "Hey, go up to that girl and say, hey, your blue dress reminds me of my favorite color in my Crayola box when I was younger," and just like give him an opening line, and then just tell him to just like kind of freestyle it from that point. And dude, like, it was hilarious seeing people bomb. But like I said, I think
that worked for no one, right?
None, okay. Of course not. But like I said, I think going to that like gave him the confidence to like at least put himself above that level of
to know there was others far worse.
Yeah, exactly. Your blue dress remind me of this lifelong question I've always had. Why don't they use blue as blood in the tampon commercial?
You're there? No, but it was sort of like, I mean, I'm sure the porn or sex addicts thing might have had the same effect on you. But I don't.
It wasn't a good thing.
Yeah, right. Like, you, instead of devoting 2 hours to beating off the next thing, you devoted four.
Like, what happened was at the end of the meeting, the guy realized I was a rook. That it was my first time, and he came up with this like manila envelope filled with their sex addict jingo or lingo and all the crap to, you know, a couple pamphlets. And the instant I was out of there, I was just like ninja starring that shit into a dumpster. So I'm like, I don't need this. I shouldn't have even touched it, damn pervert.
What were the guys like?
I mean, some were fucking creeps, and others were, honest to God, like, what you hoped you met, where it was like a normal looking guy, but like he was just, you know, had a 9-to-5 life and then did all this horrible shit on the side.
Wow.
But a lot, so not
like
to,
all of us,
not to generalize, but a lot were, they looked like sexual deviants of some sort.
So like all of us?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Wait, so what made you like want to do that in the first place?
Because I would just think to myself, like, I whack it 2 times a day. Like, kill, you know, 45 minutes each session.
When does it get weird?
Exactly. I don't know if, like, I'm just part of an entire generation that's sexually fucked. But, like, I was, you know, looking at porn all the time to avoid doing any kind of work. This was back when my girlfriend used to fuck me.
Yeah.
And, like, because I looked at so much porn, I was whacking it all the time. Like, I wasn't getting hard enough to use a condom properly half the goddamn time. Mm-hmm. So I just, like, get a BJ. That part, I don't see the problem either.
Yeah.
But, so I was like, I wish I weren't avoiding my life with this shit. And I wish, you know, the off chance my girlfriend wants to give me some, I could get hard as a goddamn blade, shove it in a rubber.
Yeah.
Yeah. And give it to her.
Yeah.
And, so none of that's changed, by the way.
I think,
I just avoid the sex.
I think those 6 Bud Lights have finally started to hit.
No, I was just wondering, like, when it gets weird. It's abnormal, I guess. You said it was weird, right? Before? But
no, yeah, it's
pretty normal things to me. You know?
I mean, for the most part, I kind of agree. I don't even look at weird porn. It's like, I like, Reddit Gone Wild.
Yeah,
with
you're just a normal guy.
Well, the thing about, Papa Mau Mau is he, like, he has his own. He dictates his own schedule. Like, right? Yeah. You work for yourself, so you you can tell a client, hey, you
barring
can't make it or whatever.
Barring someone being locked out of their house,
or like locked out of heaven. Pick up Bruno Mars one day, or
someone just calls and they're like, "I need my locks done within the next couple days."
Right. So because of that, like, if you were stuck in an office from 9 to 5, like most people out there, most dudes out there, wouldn't be able to like.
No, it
casually
was
casually beat off whenever you feel like it or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like,
no, without a couple of lifted eyebrows.
Yeah, right. But the fact that you have a completely open schedule.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'll just roll out of bed and, like, you know, a goddamn writer feeling
like,
inspiration. I'm just like,
what if you get a phone call from like somebody who, like, needs, like,
I'm so angry. That's your answer. I have to put my dick down. I'm just like,
no, but like, what? All right, what if I'm saying, like, what if you get like a call from somebody who's like locked out? And it, like, you can tell immediately, like, it's like a hot chick, and you're like, "Well, look, let me just say, like, we do have a discount," and then like you get there and like you just like crank it right in front of her doorknob, and you're like, "Well, do you want the discount or not? Like, what is the matter?"
Rude bitch. No, I would say it's been a handful of times in the God I've had the business 14 years now. Handful of times.
Have you really?
Oh yeah. Handful.
Why do you keep emphasizing handful?
I don't know. It wasn't even going anywhere.
The size of your junk or something? Handful. Handful. Let me tell you. Handful.
No,
handful.
It's very, very rare. There's an attractive chick. There's like really only one I can think of off the top of my head, and she had just caught her husband like fucking another broad and had raced home so that she could lock him out.
and then like drain his accounts.
Well, this was like a lot thing.
Yeah, and it was, like,
she told you all this.
Yeah, because she was like still just like crying and like half hysterical. Like she just, I think, like
she called actually, you.
Yeah, yeah.
The first she wanted you to get
one of many crying women to call me.
How did she catch him creeping?
I think she either.
God. And how do you know that you're not breaking into somebody's home?
I never really do.
Yeah, in all really honesty,
any
right?
sort of insurance for that? Like what?
Oh yeah, I got bonding and stuff. Like I'm fine. Yeah, I really screw the pooch on this. But no, she was just like crying and was like, "I caught him with another woman. Like he's not setting foot back in this house." And I wanted to be like the one he paid for, but I let it roll.
You charge her full price, right?
Of course. Thank God. But yeah, it was the one day I just had a buddy. Like you said, making my own schedule and doing what I want. I just had a buddy who was off that day, and I was like, "You want to roll with me?" And it did not end with us spit roasting her. Let's put it that way. Man.
What's the spit roasting?
Where the Eiffel Tower, where one guy's plugging the vag.
Oh, okay, it's not normal anymore.
Yeah, I like how you're using the mic to support your face.
When I need to talk, I will. Okay. All right,
he's just saving up. Yeah, that ended with me, one, not getting anything, never being texted anything, and the account she signed the check from was drained by her. And I went to cash it maybe a week later, and I had to get back in touch with her to get real money.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, because she had drained all the shared accounts.
Did she any sort of like additional charge for that or anything? I mean, most companies.
What
are you suggesting?
Some.
You know what I'm saying? You know
just
what I'm saying?
Pull out one of them.
An extra $13.
An extra boob or something?
An extra $14.
I wish. I wish I had the balls. I wish I were man enough to go for just such easy prey. Just a crying woman whose world crumbled around her a week ago.
You probably wouldn't have such a long run of running the company. If,
No. That's something that might wind up on Google, where right. I ask a woman to see her areola as a late payment. That's probably frowned upon.
I feel like we've learned a lot about each other tonight.
There's nothing illegal about that.
Horrible thing.
Right. If you ask her to see that totally as a form of payment, what's illegal about that? Is that harassment if you just ask her?
Probably.
No, I'm seriously, like, is there anything, like, is there, like, a charge that can be pressed?
I don't know. I mean, if you walk up to a girl and you're like, can I rape you? Is that
but you're giving them a service, though, right?
Yelp average down a little bit.
Probably.
Okay, yeah, but there's
a review here.
Well, especially because if they don't understand of a one-man show, they'll be like, the company's fine, but don't let the creepy Greek man do work for you. And everyone will be like, but he's the one who showed up for me. The jig will be up. I don't know, do we call it a night?
Easy, yeah. I think...
The spirit has left us.
I mean, we could talk, you know... No, I think we're good.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
I just have to pee again. That's
that happens when you drink so much liquid. And
yeah, what's the light beer?
Dude, see? Isn't it weird how he like leaves a little bit of beer at the bottom of his bottles? Like, come on.
That is serial killer.
Right?
That is like his MO.
Yeah, like it's look at the ones up there. Like he does it for all of them.
No.
Man.
You're just trying to end this thing with me being pissed off because I pissed you off in the beginning.
I'm trying to understand what's going on. That's all.
Oh.
It's the stupid foam from like the lining of the beer that like trickles down when you're done with it.
That's a shitload of foam right there, man. It's like
No, I'm
not talking about that. Look at the one next to it.
The one next to it has a solid.
I just didn't finish this one.
And he fixed that.
Thanks for the reminder, though. You got it, man. You got two more up there.
So that is his pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Now we know.
It's like yeah,
this
it's like
been a fun intervention, guys. I appreciate it. You guys have me here in the basement. Lights off half the time. That really threw me.
That attitude.
I didn't sure left it off.
I didn't see the intervention coming because the lights were off. And we were just sitting on our bare asses on the floor in this basement with the lights.
Well,
off.
I hope I can get you guys in the studio at some point this week to actually do a real show.
Dude, I kind of. I mean, I know.
Do you like this
was a real.
I kind of like this. Yeah, I'm glad he was here.
It's going to have a very different like cadence and a very different sound to it. So listen to it. Yeah, tell me what you think.
With the cadence changes in the different studio,
you know
it like, does. It's much more professional. Like people actually trying to keep a conversation going instead of us just getting at the piss.
Yeah,
screaming at the mic from 8 feet away.
We're turning the lights on for the first time in the show.
Yeah, not only that, just the way we've had to keep our mics or our mouths glued to the mics.
It'd be weird if we. You know what, guys? It'd be weird if we weren't sitting in a basement with the lights off, staring at each other, talking to each other in the microphone. Imagine how creepy that is. That's what we did for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was cool. I liked it, man.
Oh, you know, what are you doing this weekend? You know, I'm just hanging out with my buddies.
Well, not just that. Don't forget the white flash that the plasma TV was giving. Yeah.
We're going to go into his basement, turn the lights out, and talk to each other through microphones.
It's the same effect Tony Soprano saw in those two episodes when he's in the coma. There's randomly a white flash. So maybe we're all dead and this is a dream. And on that reassuring note, let's wind up this Papa's Basement. Chris, Blue Shorts, thank you for joining me. What is your Twitter handle? Prepare for one, maybe three followers, man.
@ Chris Lingbach.
There you go. Lingbach rolls off the tongue.
Super easy to spell.
Othello. It's like Lingabach. L-I-N-G-E-B-A-C-H.
Yes.
There you go.
@ Othello BT.
BT.
Also rolls off the tongue. Super easy to spell. I heard that.
That is, hold on, Bravo. Sierra Tango. Othello Bravo Tango. Nice, man. There you go. I'm John Papa Giorgio. I'm @ Papa's Basement on Twitter. Show site is inpapasbasement.com. Go there for every episode we've ever done, as well as my writing. If you really want to help out the show, use the podcast app on any iDevice you have. Subscribe and rate us and leave a review. I think those last two have to be done from a computer because... Is that why he's so still? I thought he was listening to what I was saying. But he's just trying to say,
if you also really wanted to help out the show, you can give us some Febreze right now.
Oh, no. Othello has his head half covered by his t-shirt. You look like you're sticking up a man in South Central LA.
That's what I'm doing here.
All right. And if you have a Droid device, use the Stitcher app to pretty much do what the Apple Podcast app does. All right. Till the next one. We're out of here.
Peace.